Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody all alone.
Good, good, good.
Jesus.
Good, good, good.
many things has held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing
vibe. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shows together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want y'all to listen, listen.
Every word I say, every word I say. No, no, no.
We're
moving. What a wonderful world.
This morning, Father, open our eyes that we may see. And this morning, I want to every telephone call, every expression of love. I want to bring you a word from God. Turn your Bibles to the first chapter of Revelation and the 29th Psalms. There's a message that God has given in Revelation. Given message in the 23rd number, Psalm, Your Way. And you don't know how to get healed, how to be blessed. God is still for you. God still said hi and look low. The same God, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, that God said hi, he looked low. I want to write down the number of Psalms. Read it over again. Read Revelation. As you read the book of Revelation, the whole book of Revelation, it's going to help you know in your life. It's going to help you to heal. When the doctor said you can't walk, you're going to walk. When the doctor said you can't see, you're going to see. When the doctor said you can't hear, you're going to hear. God is still available for you, man, woman. God is still available for you. If my people that are called by my name on themselves and turn from the wicked ways, I will heal the land. Yes, God is available. God is still available. That have stopped, and some have told you he wasn't available. But this morning, Sunday morning, I want you to know God is still available for you. God is still available for your family. Somebody told you God wasn't available, but I want you to know God is still available. God is available, you reach out to be available for you. All that's going on in the world, God is still available. Down. Put it on your refrigerator or put it somewhere. I said, God is available for me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God this morning is available for you. He's available to heal your body. He's available right now to take you to the next level. I'm praying for your loved one on holiday. God is still available to make things right. Maybe you feel like don't nobody love you. Feel like that everybody has abandoned you. This morning, God is still available for me and you. And you got to set the availability what God got for you and for me. God is still available. I wish I had somebody that know that God is available. I got to ask him, and he's available for me. Whatever I need, God got what you need. God got what you want. I should not want. When you begin to look into that, you will say, I'm available, but I wonder, is you available for God?
God will bless everyone who reads this prophecy to others. He will bless the time is almost here. From long seven churches in Asia, I pray that you will be blessed with kindness and peace from God, who is before the throne of God. May kindness and peace be yours from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Jesus was the first to conquer. He is the ruler of all earthly kings. Christ.
Christ loves us, and by his blood he has freed from our sins. He lets us rule as kings and serve God his Father as priests. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Everyone will see him, even the one who saw through him. All people on earth because of him. Yes, it will happen. Amen. The Lord God says,
I am the Father, the one who is and was and is coming. I am
a follower together with all of you. We all suffer because Jesus is our King. But he gives us strength to do. I was sent to Patmos Island because I had preached God's message and had told. I heard a loud voice that sounded like a trumpet. Great enough. Then send it to the seven churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands. There was a man, someone who seemed to be the man, wearing a robe that reached up to his feet, and an old cloth was wrapped around his chest. His head and his hair were white as snow. His eyes looked like flames of fire. His feet were glowing like bronze being heated in a furnace, and his voice sounded like the roar of a thunder. The sun stars in his hand, and a sharp sword was coming from his mouth. His face was shining as bright as the sun. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead person. But he put his right hand up and said,
"I am the living one. I died, but now I am alive forevermore. I am the key of death and the word of death. Write what you have seen, and what is, and what will happen after these things. I will explain the mystery of seven stars that you saw on my right side, and the seven gold stands. Seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the last stand are the seven churches." Church in Ephesus. I am the one who holds seven stars in my right hand. Listen to what I say. I know everything you have done, including your hard work and you can put anyone who is evil. When some repent of the apostles, you found out you have endured and gone through hard times because of me, and you have not. Have as much love as you used to. Think about where you have fallen from. Turn back and do it. You don't understand. Come and take away your last stand. But there is one thing you are doing right.
You have ears. Listen to what the Spirit says to the churches.
I will let everyone who is victory from life-giving God's wonderful garden. I am the first and the last. I died, I am alive. Listen to what I say. I know how much you suffer and how poor you are, but you are rich. I also know the cruel things about you by people who claim to be Jews, but they are not really Jews. They are not the devil will throw some of you into jail, and you will be tested and made to suffer for 10 days. But your faith will be done. I will reward you with a glorious life.
If you have ears, listen to the Spirit says to the churches.
Whoever wins victory will will not be hurt by the second death. This is what you must write to the angel. I have the sharp double-edged sword. Listen to what I say. I know that you live where Satan is wrong, but you have to true to my name. Right there where Satan lives, my faithful witness Antipas, I do have a few things against you. Some of you are following the teaching and to be immoral. Now some of you are following the teaching of Nicolaitans. Turn back. If you don't, I will pray and fight against these people, and my words will cut like a sword. To everyone who wins the victory, I will give some food. I will beat on a white stone with a name written on it. No one will know that name except the one who is given the stone. I am the Son of God. My eyes are like fire and my feet are like I know everything about you, including your love, your faith, how you have endured. I know that you are doing more than you have ever done before. But I still have something against you because of that woman Jezebel. She called herself a prophet, and you let her mislead my servants to do immoral things and to eat food offered to idols. I gave her a chance to cover her sins, but she did not these immoral things. I am going to strike down Jezebel. I will even kill her followers. Then all the churches will see. I will teach you as you deserve. Some of you in Thyatira don't follow Jezebel's teaching. So I won't burden you with any other commands. But you must hold firm to the teaching you have. I will give power of the name of me until the end. Save the nations with an iron rod and smash those nations to pieces.
If you have ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation 3.
This is what you must write to the angel of the church in Sardis. I have the Spirit of God and the seven stars. Listen to what I say. I know what you are doing. Everyone may think you are dead, but you are dead. Strength left, and it is almost gone. So try to become stronger. I know you are not God-given, and that you heard. Hold firmly to it, and turn from your sins. If you don't wake up, you will come to peace, just as a thief does. A few of you in Sardis have not dirtied your clothes. You walk clothes. You are worthy. Everyone who wins the victory will wear white clothes. Their names will never be erased from the book of life. I will tell my Father in vain that they are my followers.
If you have ears, to the churches.
This is what you must write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. I am the one that belonged to David. When I open the door, no one can close it. And when I close the door, listen to what I say. I know everything you have done, and I have placed before you an open door that no one can close. You are not very strong, but you obeyed my message and did not deny that you are my followers. Now, see what I will do with those people who belong to Satan's group.
They claim to be Jews, but they are liars. They will know that I love you. You obeyed my message and endured, so I will protect you from the time that everyone in the world. I am coming soon, so hold firmly to what you have, and no one will know that you will be given as a reward. Everyone who wins the victory will be made into a picture that will be there forever. I in the name of my God and the name of his city. It is the near Jerusalem my God will send down to heaven. I will also write a new name. You have ears. What this says to churches. This is what you must write. The angel of the church in the I am the faithful and true witness and the source of God's creation. Listen to what I say. I know everything you have done, cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other, but still lukewarm and cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. You think you everything you need, but you don't know how bad off you are. You are pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Buy gold from me and refine it fire. It will make you rich. Buy white clothes from me. Wear them and you can cover up your shame. I correct and punish everyone I love. So make your mind I am standing and knocking at your door. You hear my voice and come in. We will eat together. Everyone who wins the victory will spit me out.
If you have ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the church.
Revelation 4. After this, the voice said, and that sounded like a trumpet said, right then the Spirit told me,
Revelation 5.
in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne of the sword that had right on the inside and the outside, and was seated in certain places. So the mighty angel asked in a loud voice,
"Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seal?"
See inside it. Right now, because no one's found worthy to open the sea inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Stop crying, the line from Judah, and King David's great descendant has won the victory." Standing in the center of the throne that was surrounded by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb looked as if it had one big wheel. It had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent from the earth. The Lamb looked over and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. Sang a new song.
Yes, hello everyone. This show is brought to you by the Seed of Abraham Ministry.
If not, there was a day when many of the Israelites found themselves in bondage in Babylon. There was a king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. You read about him a good deal in the book of Daniel, and it stands as an epic that will remain stenciled on the mental sheets of unfolding generations. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king, and when he ruled, he ruled, and when he issued an order, he meant business. And Nebuchadnezzar issued an order. He made a golden image, and his order was that everybody
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. For Jesus, your grace and mercy brought me. I'm living this moment.
Rescue me!
times of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the
Father,
be it secular or sacred, there isn't a greater love story than the story of the prodigal son. Jesus dramatically tells of God's love and God's patience and God's long-suffering and God's concern about man in this passage. He intended to show, first of all, the danger of self-righteousness in the characterization of the son that stayed at home. Although he stayed at home, although he did not go astray, although he did not engage in wild and riotous living, when his brother was redeemed and was regained, he was too selfish to come in and join in the banquet and celebrate the recovery of his lost brother. So that Jesus intends for us to learn in this that it is as dangerous to stay in the church and be selfish as it is to go out but finally come back. Now the theme of this passage is law. And Jesus intended to show us that God is a God of the law. Now Jesus also said that God was not the God of the living, or rather of the dead, but a God of the living. Yes. By that, he did not mean that he turned his back on you when you die. Yes. But he rather meant that no man is dead with God. Yes. And David had us to know that we cannot escape to any realm where God is not. If he went into the heavens, if he went to the utmost parts of the earth, if he made his bed in hell, behold, God is there. So God is the God of the lost. You do not believe that he's the God of the lost, make up in your mind to come back to God. And like the father of the prodigal, his arms will be wide open. And a robe will be waiting, you understand, in his one robe of blessing. Now, I said the theme of this story is lost. Jesus in this chapter tells of three things that were lost. First, he tells of lost sheep. Secondly, he tells of lost money. Thirdly, he tells of a lost son. In the case of the lost sheep, the shepherd went back over his steps and over his traveling the day, the previous day, and searched in every ravine, in every mountainside, in every valley, until he had regained the sheep that was lost. The woman who lost one of her coins of ten stuck in every corner and under every bed and behind every door until she had found her lost coin. But then there's no word of anybody having gone out to look for this lost son. You see, in the case of the sheep, we have the loss of property. In the case of the lost coin, we have financial loss. In the case of the son, we have human loss. People go out looking to regain lost property. People what? Double shifts in order to regain lost money. But very few people bother themselves about trying to regain lost son, lost daughter, lost husband or lost wife, or even lost friend. This young man, in the case of the prodigal son, became restless, according to the story, and became a little impatient with the discipline and order and regulation of his home. Possibly his brother led a life that was too dull. Possibly the loving rule of his father was a little irritating. Yet he was young, and the blood of youth was dancing for anxiety and excitement in his veins. You understand, his heart had grown alien. Alien to his home. Alien to the traditional situation among his people. Alien to the things that were native to him. The far country of excitement beckoned to him. And he went to his father and petitioned him, "Father, give me all of the goods that fall to me." His father did not hesitate. He immediately divided his living. You understand? And gave the young man his share. And not many days, he took his journey into that far country. Listen, if you please. He didn't go off looking for the young man. For the young man was lost. Yes, he was lost. I don't mean only so far as morals or so far as that which is spiritual is concerned. I mean he was lost from himself. For the record is that when he found himself in the pig pen, he came to himself, which means that he was not at himself when he left home. I wish I had somebody here to share with me. You see, there are situations in life. Let me put it this way. I think sometimes that adversity helps us to find ourselves. Some of the folk who are sitting here listening to me have gone through experiences and know that there were times in your life when you thought you knew it all. When you thought that you could impose your way and your will on everybody. When you thought that it was right to be selfish. For you see, the first law of nature may be self first, but the first law of grace is others first. I wish I had somebody here praying with me tonight. Go ahead, listen if you please.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
And it took a little adversity. It took a little sickness.
Yes,
or it took a little misfortune.
Yes.
Or it took a little shake-up in your life.
Yes.
To help you to find yourself.
Yes.
You see, this young man... You understand, his heart had grown alien. Alien to his home. Alien to the traditional situation among his people. Alien to the things that were native to him. The far country of excitement beckoned to him. And he went to his father and petitioned him, Father, give me all of the goods that fall to me. His father did not hesitate. He immediately divided his living. You understand? And gave the young man his share. And not many days, he took his journey into that far country. Listen if you please. He didn't go off looking for the young man. For the young man was lost. Yes, he was lost. I don't mean only so far as morals or so far as that which is spiritual is concerned. I mean he was lost from himself. For the record is that when he found himself in the pigpen, he came to himself, which means that he was not at himself when he left home. I wish I had somebody here to pray with me. You see, there are situations in life. Let me put it this way. I think sometimes that adversity helps us to find ourselves. Some of the folk who are sitting here listening to me have gone through experiences and know that there were times in your life when you thought you knew it all. When you thought that you could impose your way and your will on everybody. When you thought that it was right to be selfish. For you see, the first law of nature may be self first, but the first law of grace is others first.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody here praying with me tonight.
Go ahead,
listen if you please.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
And it took a little adversity.
Yeah.
It took a little sickness.
Yeah.
Or it took a little misfortune.
Yeah.
Or it took a little shake-up in your life.
Yeah.
To help you to find yourself.
Yeah.
You see, this young man didn't find himself until he had gone all the way from a palace to a pig pen.
Pray
with me if you please. Took his journey into a far country. For he was alien. Alien from God, alien from friends, alien from his surroundings and from his native home.
Amen.
The wild blue yonder call. And there was nothing at home that could satisfy him. Hence he took his journey into a far country.
Yeah.
I shall shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
My Lord.
Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and his goodness. The folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me.
Well, amen.
The Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so. Pray with me.
Well,
if David was the author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences.
Yes, sir.
Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne. Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand. With courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him. And yet he takes the retrospect back down the vista of the past. And began to think about those things that brought him over. Had it been his skillfulness? Had it been his superior